Awesome. Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everyone. We are going to, in a minute, we're going to dismiss our kids. I want to do something. Kids, sorry. School's starting. Sorry, it's happening. Some of you, it's already happened to. But I just want to take a moment before we dismiss our kids, and I want us to pray for our kids. I want us to pray for our kids. I want us to pray for, we have many of you that maybe some teachers, maybe some working in the school. I'm going to ditch my keys here so they don't bug me for the next bit. But I want to pray for our teachers. I want to pray for those of us in this room that may be working in schools. I want to pray for our homeschool teachers, our homeschool mom teachers who are deliberately raising their children and teaching them in the ways of the Lord and in education. So we're going to take a moment and be deliberate about praying for our kids. And also, as we do that, you know, today in our nation is our National Day of Prayer, right? That our president is calling on Americans to pray for our nation today. And I want to be guilty of praying for our nation every day, right? As a Christian, I want to be guilty of praying as often as possible for our nation. But specifically, I want to pray for our kids. I also want to pray for those affected in Texas with the floods, as we're all aware. But also specifically lift up the state of Montana as well. Right, many people that we know in Montana are being affected by wildfires, and even also the people in our own state who over in Clee Elum are being evacuated. And so I just am going to ask everyone to stand this morning, and I'm specifically going to pray, but if you've got a son or a daughter that's going to school, if you, any teachers or people that work in the school, can you just raise your hand? If you are involved as a homeschool mom, as a teacher's aide, as a worker, just raise your hand. And if you see someone with their hand raised, I'm asking you, we're going to bless them and we're going to ask for God's wisdom to be upon them. So you can stretch your hands to them. You can go lay your hands on them. You might want to say, hey, can I pray for you? That would work too. And then also our kids, if you have a child around you, and let's just pray blessing and impartation upon them as well. And so, and then let's just pray to the Lord for our nation. But God, we all over this place, Father, we lift you up today. Father, I thank you for the season that you have us in. Father, I thank you for the season of even new beginnings. And as we look to another school year, as we look to another opportunity for our children to grow, Father, to be encouraged, to be educated, Father, and their scholastics, but also, Father, this year would be a year that they become more educated in you. Father, we bless our children today. Father, for the ones that are homeschooled, the ones that go to private and public schools, Father, we bless them. We ask that your hand would be upon our children, Father, as they go out and as they deliberately focus on the things that you have them to focus on in this season. Father, we bless our children today. We thank you for them. Father, that they truly are blessings from you. They are gifts from above. Father, and we know that you have amazing things in store for our children. And so we bless them today. I thank you, God, for every person in this room that invests in the next generation, Father, through education, through being a homeschool teacher. Father, we thank you for those that are being deliberate and investing in the next generation. And God, we ask that this year, Father, that you would lead them, that you would go before them. Father, that you would give them strategy to affect and influence the children and their co-workers that they spend time with. And so, Father, we thank you for those lights. Father, I'm reminded of the scripture that says that we are shine like lights in a dark area. Father, I thank you for our teachers in our public schools. Father, our Christian teachers in public schools, we ask, God, that they would have opportunities to shine as shining stars in the midst of a lost generation. Father, we thank you for them. We bless them today. Father, we lift up our nation to you. We join with the millions of others across the nation that are praying for our nation today. Father, we thank you that your hand is upon this nation. Father, that you love the nations of the world and you love the nation of America. And so we bless the nation of America today. Father, I bless the people of Texas. Father, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Texas today. Father, we ask for your hand of protection and provision to be upon them. Father, with all the weirdness in the world, Father, it's times like these that we're reminded that there's good in our world today. And so, Father, we thank you for those that are doing good and are spreading your kingdom in Texas. Father, we ask for continued protection and safety for them. We also lift up, Father, our brothers and sisters in Eastern Washington and even in Montana who are being affected by forest fires. And, Father, we just ask that your supernatural rain, Father, would come down. And, Father, that the damage would be minimal. Father, that there would be no loss of life. Father, that you would, by your Spirit, move. Father, that you, by your Spirit, would do what we can't do. And so, Father, we thank you, God, that you are on the move. And we thank you for your protection. Father, we bless our brothers and sisters in Montana. Father, we bless the first responders, Father, with supernatural strength as they are fighting fires and rescuing. Father, we thank you for those that have put their lives on the line to help others. And we thank you for them today. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Now, kids, you can be released to go. And go they do. Well, I hope you are enjoying your holiday weekend as you kind of take the last little bit before it all begins, right? Before it's like, I don't know what it is, but it fall seems like new beginning and it's good. So I'm excited this morning to share with you. Pastor Ryan said it, but if you did not listen and if you were not here, I know it's summertime. If you were not here last week, I encourage you to listen to the message. Pastor Dave, it was an incredible word about it's time to seek the Lord. And I believe that's a word for us corporately, for our nation. If I could broadcast that in every church in America, Pastor Dave, I would. Because I think that is the word of the Lord for the church of America. It's time to seek the Lord. And I believe personally that's a word for us as individuals, as we are leading our families and doing the things that God has called us to do. And so listen to that message. I'm going to do just the brief recap, but please listen to the message. I'm not going to give you the full meal deal here. I'm just going to give you my little version, and please listen to the message. But it really springboards what I want to talk about today as I've taken this week to really seek the Lord in my own life and in the areas that God is having me do so in. And I was encouraged this week and challenged. And so Pastor Dave said a few things, but he made a comment at the beginning that he said, discovery of God's plan for your life is one of life's most important quests or questions, to understand why God put you on this planet. Right, and we all know that God has a specific plan for each and every one of us. That's a plan for hope and a bright future. He also said, and he talked about the story in 2 Chronicles 26 of King Uzziah. And his key verse was in verse 5, and it says this. This is talking about King Uzziah, who I believe was 16, right, Pastor Dave, when he became king of the nation. And it says this. It says, the king set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him successful, or God made him prosper. And so there's this, you know, parallel that Pastor Dave talked about with us seeking God and success go hand in hand. And in the day and the age that we live in today, so many people want success. So many people have conferences, you know. If you do these simple things, and you'll be successful. And I'm not against strategy. I'm not against doing those things. But I think we forget sometimes that the Lord is the one that causes our success. And it's His Spirit that can do truly the impossible. And so the king found himself successful when he sought the Lord. Pastor Dave said three things. He said a lot, but the three main things he said, success is a gift from God. It's not a result of mere human achievement. If God wants something to succeed, God's will and way is going to happen in spite of my weakness. Right? God's will and purposes are going to prevail in your life even if you have weakness in certain areas. Even if you trip over your own feet, God is the one who grants success to his people. He also said success is a product of God's help. How many of you know we need God's help in the present hour that we find ourselves in as a nation, as individuals, and as a church? Without the help of God, we're pretty helpless. We're pretty helpless, and we're in need of a Savior. I started thinking about God, when God's blessing or anointing is on someone's life. Have you ever noticed someone, and you could just tell God's favor is all over them? There's nothing you can do to stop it if God wants to bless a person. And sometimes I look at those people and I say, God, why aren't I having that success? And it makes me hungry, and it keeps me praying for God to do those things and seeking the face of the Lord. Okay, but when God calls someone and his favor is upon them, there's nothing anyone can do to stop it. And then the last thing that Pastor Dave said is he said, God's help and our success is conditional on us seeking God for the season that he has us in. Because the Bible is very clear that our God is the God of seasons. The Bible says that there's a season of planting and there's a season of harvest. There's a season of reaping. There's a season of sowing. I think oftentimes we get comfortable in the season that we're in, or comfortable in the season that we know. And when sometimes God's telling us to plant, we're still looking to reap. We're still looking to till up the ground. And so we need to be very keen and very in tune with what the Spirit of God is saying for our lives, so we are doing the right thing at the right time as the Lord is leading us in those seasons that he has us. Amen? So Pastor Dave said those things. And so I want to continue talking about them with all that in mind. And the title that I want to talk about today is Seek First. Seek first, and you probably know where I'm going, but we prayed for our kids earlier today, and I don't know about you, but I'm not, we're about a little over halfway through 2017, the year, and I'm already thinking about all those promises I made to myself in January. Come on, you know where I'm going. The resolutions, the goals, the new things that I'm going to do so I have a successful year. I'm not a huge New Year's resolution, guys. Probably because every time I think of them, I probably fail in like 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have all these big things, and New Year's resolutions always remind me of how good I am at not keeping the New Year's resolutions that I want to keep. I want to give us hope this morning, because this is my hope. If your New Year's resolutions aren't active anymore, September's here, right? For me, September's the season where I get kind of a second start, because in my mind, I see it as a new opportunity, school starting, all the things that I failed in with my New Year's resolution, I'm going to try again in September for the next 3 months until I come up with new resolutions in January. And my wife and I, over the last number of weeks and probably month, we've been talking about strategy for our sons. We've been talking about strategy for our marriage. We've been talking about strategy for our household, right? Like many of you are doing at this time as you are getting back into the swing of things. And we are saying, okay, we know we've had a good summer. We've slept in. Our kids have slept in. We haven't done our bedtime routines. It's happened whenever they've happened. And we're using this opportunity in the natural to make a fresh start. And so I want to speak to some of that because I believe as parents and I believe as husbands and wives, we have certain opportunities and certain windows of opportunity that the Lord grants us where we can make fresh starts in our lives and fresh starts in our families that will last for a long time. And I really felt like for parents today that the Lord wants to give you strategy for your children. And the Lord wants to give you keys from heaven that will help your children find the Lord as they are seeking him. You know, my wife and I, at times, we go through seasons where we find ourselves lying awake at nighttime, right? Restless, not sleeping. And it's not usually, it's sometimes it's because the Lord is speaking, but other times we find ourselves preoccupied with the lives of our sons, in the lives of our family members, in the lives of those who are close to us. And especially as parents, we find ourselves worrying about how are our boys doing? How are we doing as parents of teaching them to be servants? Because Saturday mornings during chore time, we're reminded of how much room they have to go when it comes to being servants. Right? Parents, you with me? How far off they seem. We look at some of the struggles that our sons have. And if we were to dwell on those struggles, we could lose a lot of sleep. We can look at some of the struggles that our son has academically. And we could worry about those things. And we could cause those things to take our focus off of the Lord and put our focus on just the circumstances that are around us. We look at the character of our sons. And I see things in my sons that I love and attributes and character traits that are from heaven. And they are very good. But then I see other traits and I say, oh, that must have come from my wife's side of the family, right? But I look at other things in my sons and I say, that is not of the character of God. And we worry and we stress and we say, I hope we're not visiting him in prison in 10 years or in 20 years. I'd be in a little extreme here, hopefully, right? But, you know, we find ourselves lying awake and looking at these things and trying to raise these gifts. I look at my marriage. I hope you look at your marriage. And if I look at myself and I can see I'm inadequate in areas of my marriage. My communication at times is not good. My sensitivity most of the time is not good. And I won't even tell you about her sensitivity. But I look at these things in my life and I look at the busyness and I look at the season. And if I think about the circumstances long enough, I get overwhelmed. If you look at your own life, it's very easy to get overwhelmed when you look at all that's going on in your life. And I want to encourage us this morning of what Matthew talks about. Because I want to tell you this morning, it is easy to worry about the circumstances of your life and of my life. It does not take a gifted person to worry about those things. Because there's reason maybe to worry. Or it would make sense that I'm worried about some of those things in my sons. But one of Jesus' most famous sermons is found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, right? The Sermon on the Mount. And he says a few things. And we got to understand that he's talking to the crowd. And he's talking to people like you and me. He's talking to people that are really wondering, how does the gospel, how does the kingdom of God affect my life? Because they all had lives, they all had children, they all had pressures that were adding and complicating their lives. They all had those things. And Jesus knows that. And Jesus comes on the scene, and he's talking to them. He's saying, this is how you're supposed to live your life. This is how you're supposed to carry on with your life. And in Matthew 6, 33 is my key verse. But he's really talking about four areas to the people. Okay, and if you read the whole chapter, he talks about how do you help the poor? How do you give to those less fortunate? He then goes on and he talks about how do you pray? And I would say, how do you connect with your Father? Okay, I think that is a very important topic if we're going to talk about seeking the Lord. Well, how do I communicate with God? Do I go to God in fear? Or do I go to God with my wish list? Do I go to God in an impersonal way? Right? Jesus is addressing these things, and he's saying, hey, this is how you approach the Father. He goes into fasting. He says, if you're going to fast, if you're going to sacrifice something in your life, here is the right way to do it. Fasting is a good thing. Fasting is a powerful thing. He then goes on and he talks about where does your true value lie? And I think for us today, that is a very important topic. Where do I put my value? Do I put it in the things that I can control? Do I put it in the things that I've accomplished in my own strength? Do I put too much value in the things I've achieved? He then goes on and he talks about worry. And he says, do you really trust that God can take care of your needs? And I think about worry and I think about needs, and we all have needs. Right? This week, watching the news, I've counted my blessings because I don't have water in my home. Right? All those things as I look at Texas and what's going on. But I look at all of these worries, and I put all these things that Jesus talks about into perspective. And then I get to verse 33, and it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then I get back to my boys. I get back to the season of fall, the season of new beginnings. And I say, in all my parenting, in all my worry, am I teaching my sons, and am I leading my family to seek first the kingdom of God? Because I believe that all major life decisions that I'm going to make, I have to make those decisions with the kingdom of God in mind. Right? The way that I raise my sons, the way that I teach my sons how to treat women, it's not just about being nice to the opposite sex. It's a kingdom principle. It's teaching them how to honor the women in their lives. As I talk to my sons about what career they want to do, it's not just about having a career that's going to make them lots of money, but it's having a career that they can see the kingdom of God advanced through. Amen? And so in my parenting, in my worries, am I thinking about the kingdom of God? Because I believe if we teach our sons and daughters, and I believe in our marriages, if we make our marriages about the kingdom, then all things will be added. Then God will fill in the blanks. God will add the detail to our lives as we seek first God's kingdom. You know, I was thinking about as a pastor, as a father, you know, the importance of the next generation. You know, and here at our church, we talk about the importance of instilling into the next generation, not just the do's and don'ts of church. You know, you don't wear jeans to church, or, you know, you show up early to church. You know, those are all fine things, whatever you want to do. But are we deliberate about teaching them what the kingdom of God is like? Do we teach them how to seek first the kingdom? Because as we do those things, again, I believe that our God who cares about everything else, right? The praying, the fasting, the worrying, how you're going to eat, what kind of clothes you're going to wear, all those types of things. The God that cares about those things will do his part in our lives. Okay, I want to say this morning that God knows and God cares about those things. And I'm not saying this morning it doesn't mean we don't work. Because I think the Bible's very clear that you work, that you do work, and that you eat because you work. I believe all those things. But I also believe that we need to understand that God is the one that provides those things. So he hasn't called us to be lazy in our work, but he's called us to focus on his kingdom first. And so I want to talk this morning about the kingdom. And here's what I know about the kingdom. And I'm just three things today. But these are the things that I want to teach my sons about the kingdom. Three of the things. These are the things as we start off this ending summer and beginning fall season. I want you to know these things about the kingdom today. Number one, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is very easy to look at your circumstances, to look at all the worry, to look at the state of our nation and say, oh, this is bad. But I want to declare this morning that the kingdom of God is at hand. Right now. Mark 1:15 says, in saying, this is Jesus, time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay, so the kingdom of God is a kingdom that is ruled, is ruling, and will rule for eternity. Okay, we know that, right? And I believe someday there's going to be, you know, a new heaven and a new earth, and there's going to be an environment where it's heaven, it's sin-free, it's perfect. But I believe right now that we can walk in the realities of the kingdom. And I believe that we can see things that we will experience in the future. We can experience those things in our daily life today. I can see and I can go to my kids and I can say, hey, you can pray for your friends because there's power in your prayers. It's a worthwhile investment to do those things. The time for the kingdom to be displayed is now. The time for the kingdom to be displayed is now. The kingdom of God is within us. Okay, as I raise my sons, I want them to know that today could be the day of salvation for them. I want them to know that today could be the day of salvation for their friends. I want them to know that today is the day that they can find peace with God. I want them to know that today is the day that they can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I want my kids to know that today is the day that they can call on the name of the Lord and he will answer them. I don't want to teach them a gospel that says, well, maybe next week you can do that when your room's clean. Or when you don't have sin in your life. I want to teach my kids that at any moment, no matter how far away from God they may be, they can call upon him. And guess what? He's going to come to the rescue. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. I want to teach my kids that they can approach God's throne of grace as often as they need to. And their God will meet them. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's now. That they can operate in the kingdom, not when they're 15, 16. But they can operate in the full power of the kingdom at 5. I don't care how far away my wife and I may feel. At a moment's notice, we can join together as husband and wife, and we can intercede and pray and see things happen in the Spirit because God has blessed us. And he says that we're one. At any moment, doesn't matter what I've done, It doesn't matter what you've done. At any moment, we can call upon the kingdom of God. Jesus, if you look at Mark 1, this is like at the very beginning of his ministry, right? He doesn't even have disciples yet at this point. It's like this guy's like needs to get some fishermen, and he needs to find some people to follow him. But I believe the call that went out 2,000 some years ago is the same call and is still accompanied by the same characteristics today. And it says, repent and believe. To believe means that our faith collides with our circumstances. Do you really believe what God is saying over your life? It's that point where your faith comes into collision with the reality. And I think the question is, which one's going to win? Is your faith or is your circumstances going to dictate how you believe? Or is your faith going to dictate how you believe? Because I think oftentimes as Christians, it's our circumstance that dictate how we believe. Right? Shame on us, right? Oh me, Father, forgive us. But God wants to get us to that point where our faith dictates how we're going to believe. So there's the believing part. But then he goes on and he says, repent. Repent. Well, repent of what? Because Jesus, I did that when I was 15, accepted you into my life. I repented of my sins. And I think in the season that God has us as believers, that God wants to repent, us to repent from mindsets that keep us from thinking kingdom thoughts. We need to repent of mindsets that keep us from thinking kingdom thoughts. Right? Thoughts like, well, I've always been like that since the day I was born. I can't change. Man, is that of the kingdom or is that just your flesh? Right? It's your flesh. It's probably the enemy too. Right? But we need to repent from any mindsets that keep us from thinking kingdom thoughts. Okay? We have to constantly be walking in a lifestyle of repentance. We know repentance. We know what it is, right? Repentance is turning. So I need to turn from my natural thinking and turn to spiritual thinking. I need to turn from my natural eyes to what I can see with my own eyes to say, God, how do you see this situation? God, how do you see this season that you have me in? Because again, I catch myself 100 times a day driving in my car and all of a sudden doubt and unbelief comes in. Well, where's that come from? Not God. Father, I repent for not trusting you. Father, I repent for not thinking kingdom thoughts in this situation. Right? We need to repent on a daily basis. Not for sin necessarily, but for even allowing our natural mind to dictate how we view things of the Spirit. I want to read Romans 8, 5 through 10. It says this. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. God, help us to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, not just the things of the flesh. For to set the mind, verse 6, on the things of the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the things of the Spirit is life and peace. Okay, there's your promise, life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Verse 9, you, look at your neighbor and wake him up and say, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells within you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's good news for us this morning. To experience kingdom fruit, we have to think kingdom thoughts. Our mind has to constantly be renewed. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. I want my sons to know the kingdom of God is at hand, and there's hope for the hopeless right now. Second thing about the kingdom that I want to my life to be modeled by, that I want my sons, that I want my wife to know, that I want everyone who comes into contact with me to know. Number two, the kingdom of God is an advancing kingdom. Can I just say that again? The kingdom of God is an advancing kingdom. Okay, the God that I serve's kingdom has no limitations. The God's kingdom that I serve is advancing, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Okay, God's kingdom is advancing. I want to be very clear this morning of the intentions of the king. I remember years ago, I think it was Oprah, pretty much said, you know, if God really loves us, how could he be jealous? Wouldn't he want us to do what we want to do? I want to be very clear about the gospel this morning. The intentions of King Jesus are very clear. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to affect your life, your behavior, your thoughts, your marriage, your kids, your personality, the way you drive your car, the way you tip at restaurants. He wants to infect every area of your life. He doesn't want to just infect. He wants to rule every area of your life. He does. He wants to absolutely transform every area. That's when I meet with Jesus, every aspect of me can change to look more like the heart of God. Okay, so God just doesn't want like a piece of me. He doesn't want to just, you know, affect my personality here from 9:30 to about 11. I mean, we got about 9 minutes left. And then I go back to, you know, Monday through Saturday, Justin. Right? He wants to infect every aspect of your life. Your past. He wants to infect your past. He wants to invade your past. Your shame. He wants all of it. He wants it all. Your good. He wants your good. He wants your strengths. And he wants your bad. He wants to influence everything about us. The beauty, though, is he's not going to force himself upon us. But we need to understand that the kingdom is an advancing kingdom. Okay, there's a scripture in Matthew 11, and it's probably one of those misquoted scriptures of all time. But it says this. It says, Jesus replied, go back to John. Report to him what you hear, and report to him what you see. 11:12. I might have, you know, I think we're on a different one. I'm going to read it from my notes. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Check it out. Here's the verse. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until now. Okay, I heard a lot of people say this gives Christians the right to be violent with non-believers. Because in some scriptures it says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violence take hold of it. I think we really need to understand what it means this morning. Right? I think it can mean a few things. But one of the main things, if you study this verse that it means, it says, hey, the kingdom of heaven requires deliberate, purposeful, and determined action on your part. Okay, the kingdom of God is advancing, meaning it was designed to advance. Okay, the kingdom of God wasn't designed to be stale. The kingdom of God's purpose is to go forward, is to invade, is to infect in a good way. The kingdom of God advances. And it pretty much says the forceful men lay hold of it, meaning, will you lay hold of the kingdom? Okay, that's the one of the main things that it means. I think about when this was written, and if you didn't know when this was written, this is when Jesus was working, this is in Matthew, this is when he was walking out the kingdom. You got to understand that there was a lot of Pharisees, okay? And in many cases, right, in this, Jesus was right in front of them, but they rejected him. They didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't recognize that he was the Savior. They didn't lay hold of the kingdom for whatever reason. And one of the reasons they didn't lay hold of the kingdom is because their picture of what they thought it was supposed to look like didn't line up with Jesus. Didn't look like what they thought, didn't sound like. Jesus didn't follow every little rule that they thought he should follow. But the kingdom of God is advancing, and you got to lay hold of it. They didn't lay hold of the kingdom. You know, I think about a lot of times when we ask the Lord to do things in our life and then circumstances happen and we say, God, why aren't you moving? And God says, do you really trust that I'm going to use all aspects of your circumstances? Do you really trust me to do what you asked me to do? How do I respond when I don't disagree with the method that the Lord wants to use? Do I still lay hold of the kingdom? Or do I let it pass by because it doesn't fit what I think? Right? There has to be a choice to lay hold of the kingdom. I was studying this week and I was just bouncing back around and then I was reminded of the beauty. Because the Bible says to lay hold of the kingdom. But in Luke 12, Jesus says, fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Listen, you need to lay hold of the kingdom, but God wants to give you the kingdom. You don't have to work for it. God says, I want to give you the kingdom, but you've got to lay hold of it. And I was thinking about here what I think Jesus was saying. I think he was dealing with a lot of things. And I think when Jesus says, hey, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, I think God always wants us to have a clear picture of who he is. I believe when he was saying this, the kingdom's yours, I think he's saying, because I'm a good God, I want you to know who I am. I want you to know that I'm for you. Okay, I'm going to continue here just for time's sake. You know, I think this verse also can mean that there's opposition to the kingdom. Okay, there are those who oppose the kingdom of God, right? You might, see those like on Facebook or see those on the news, the ones who are like holding up like signs that say, whatever, right? We would say those are the ones that oppose. Listen, we need to be wise as we teach our sons and our daughters of what it means to lay hold of the kingdom. We need to be very wise in the season that we live in the day and the age that we live in, because there are people and there are lies and there are thought processes that are meant to distract our sons and our daughters, to twist the truth. We need to be very wise as parents that we are not allowing the opposition to have a place in our sons' and our daughters' lives. So I believe the scripture talks about that, right? And there is a craftiness to our culture, and there is a craftiness to the enemy right now that wants to package everything and disguise it for what it is, make it look good. I'll say it again, this scripture of the kingdom of God is advancing and the violent lay hold of it has nothing to do with Christians treating sinners as they deserve to be treated. Has nothing to do with Christians putting violence on those who are acting out and are acting contrary to the kingdom. I want to be very clear about that. Here's the fruit of an advancing kingdom. the fruit of an advancing kingdom is always changed lives. So you want to know that the kingdom is advancing in your life, whose life is changing around you. Because the fruit of an advancing kingdom is always changed life. Okay, so here we've got John. He's in prison. First of all, I don't understand how prison worked back then. You know, he's in prison, but he's able to send his boys out to ask, who's this Jesus? So I don't understand that. But he goes, John the Baptist is in prison, and he says, tell me about this Jesus. Go out. And Jesus comes back. And this is what Jesus says. I love his response. In verse 4, it says, Jesus told them, go back to John. Go tell him what you hear and tell him what you see. Not go tell him that I'm, you know, God in the flesh, or tell him that I'm going to raise from the dead after, you know, I die 3 days later. No, he says, no, go tell him what you see. Tell him what you hear. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is being preached to the poor. The kingdom of God is advancing, and the fruit of an advancing kingdom is the blind see, the lame walk, those who are sick are healed, those who are deaf can hear, the good news is being preached to the poor. I want my kids to know that the kingdom of God is an advancing kingdom. I think about all our arguments. I think about the arguments that have caused churches to not exist. I've heard them, of carpet color, of you have drums in your worship. Well, that's not allowed. You allow women to speak on the platform. Not allowed. I think of all the things that we argue about, that we fight about, that I've seen the church being weakened. I mean, even interdenominationally, I've seen denominations split over issues. And all along I say, we should just focus on the kingdom. We need to focus on our lives being changed. Our people who were blind spiritually or physically, or their eyes opened, or the people hearing the good news. Is the kingdom advancing? I'm running out of time. Number 3, the third thing I want my sons to know about the kingdom is that the kingdom of God is everlasting. For your life as you start this fall, the kingdom of God is everlasting. Okay, at the end of the day, my plans, my efforts, my structures, my establishments, my government that I look to is temporal. It will not last forever. Human government will end. Human establishment will cease. You know, in Daniel 2:44, it says, and in those days, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another person. It shall break into pieces all the kingdoms and bring them to an end. And its kingdom will stand forever. The kingdom of God is everlasting. So anything that is not rooted, that is not established in an everlasting source will cease. So I can't put my trust in my local government. I can't put my eternal trust in man because man will fail. Man's systems will fail. I honor the local governments. I honor the national governments. I pray for them, but I don't put my trust in them. You know, I think Pastor Dave might have mentioned a little bit last week, but a lot of times when we're trying to establish the things of the kingdom, we look to the ways of the world to help us. Or I view God's kingdom based on my disappointment with my current government or current structures. The kingdom of God is different. than the kingdom of this world. Again, every aspect of it is contrary to it. Right? The flakiness, the instability that I see in local man-made establishments is not a reflection or reality of God's kingdom. You know, I think King David said it best. He said, "In your house and in your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne, O God, shall be established forever. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this goodness to your servants." That's in 2 Samuel. I want to teach my sons about our government, about our human establishments, but I want to teach them and show them that the kingdom of God is far different. And the godly government is perfect. And godly government, God's kingdom will not let us down. God's kingdom will not disappoint us. So when they operate in things of God's kingdom, those things will last forever. Because they're eternal. When you sow seeds into God's kingdom, those seeds will have eternal results and eternal fruit. As we begin this fall season, I want to encourage us to seek first the kingdom in our parenting, in our marriages, in how we relate with one another. Will we seek the kingdom? Will we understand that God's kingdom is now? Will we understand that God's kingdom is advancing? And will we understand that the things of God are eternal? That includes the dreams, the promises. That includes the things that God has spoken over your life that you haven't seen yet. Those promises are eternal. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take this offering for Josh. But Father, all over this place today, Father, we desire, as we heard last week and even today, Father, to seek you, that it is time to seek you. Father, we want to be ones who seek first the kingdom of God and trust you that you will add everything else to us. Father, as we find ourselves stressing and worrying about this or that or marriage or our kids or our tomorrows, Father, that we would seek you first. Father, I thank you that your kingdom is alive now. Father, that your kingdom is within us. Father, that we can walk in aspects of your kingdom that will affect our tomorrows. We can walk in those things today. Father, would you help us to teach those to our kids? Father, would you help us to possess those for our own lives? Father, I thank you that your kingdom is not stagnant. Father, forgive us for where we felt and where we viewed your kingdom as stagnant. Father, forgive us. We repent today. Father, I thank you that your kingdom is eternal. Father, and as we sow seeds into your kingdom, we are sowing eternal seeds that will last way after we're gone. Father, give us a revelation of your eternal kingdom today. Father, let us be ones who walk, know, and seek your kingdom. Father, and that your kingdom would infect all the areas of our life today. Father, I thank you for this church. God, we want to be kingdom seekers. We want to be kingdom seekers. Father, we want to be families who seek your kingdom. We honor you, Jesus, today. Amen. 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 Amen.